Hi, and welcome to the A Quilting Life podcast. I'm Chelsea.
And I'm Sherry from A Quilting Life.
And this episode is airing Monday, August 9th. And today is actually the first day of school for my kids, but we are filming this a little bit early. So right now I'm in like the preparatory stages of getting everything lined out for the first day. So
yeah, I think you're really ahead of the game. You've got all their clothes and supplies. So
yeah, did they show you all their new clothes?
No, they just told me.
So. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Mom has the quilts today.
Yes.
So do you want to share with us? Because I really, really love the one on the wall.
Yes. I love it too.
Really pretty.
It's the Summer Fun, and it's a sampler quilt, but you can also run it as a block of the month if you're a shop. The pattern is written with cutting instructions block by block. And I just absolutely love this one. Val Krieger did the custom quilting on it. And I love it. I did the gingham on the bias for the binding and just had a lot of fun using a lot of the low volume prints mixed up as backgrounds in a lot of the blocks too. And then on the table is sandcastles. And love this one too, just a fun star block, and love the secondary pattern that creates when two blocks come together on this one. Gingham on the bias binding once again.
And, shocker.
Yeah. And then behind Chelsea is alfresco, and just love that one too. I just had a blast with these quilt patterns.
I love saying the alfresco.
Yeah. Every time I eat outside, I think of that. So it was a perfect title for a summer-themed quilt fabric collection.
Yeah.
So
what I just think, just going back to the quilts on the wall, it just really is able to show off the prints and the colors. Just really, really pretty. And then you always do this fun little sashing in between where you put the little nine patches. And that's kind of like a staple you do throughout your patterns. And I love it so much.
I've been doing that a lot lately. I like it. And this time I switched. I used two different prints instead of using the same print for the nine patches as for that.
See, but I like that because I feel, and then you use this other aqua print on the border. And it's just kind of cool to see all the different prints of the aqua.
Yeah. I had originally designed this with a different outer border fabric. In fact, the pattern shows that other fabric, but in the end, I felt like it needed to continue that aqua.
Yeah. What's really fun about a pattern like this, though, is for a shop owner or just someone who wants to make it, you can always set a goal to make, you know, a couple blocks a month. And it's kind of refreshing to make a different block.
Right.
Which is really fun about this. So
yeah. And I love that all the blocks would be really fun pillows too.
Yeah.
So, or table toppers.
Oh, you should do that for your blog or for the YouTube.
Yeah. So
mom's mind is like, I was already planning on
it. I'm excited. Yeah. And then we have a couple things on the table. I just wanted to share the pin cushions that Terry from Curry Bungalow made. I sent her some of our Seashore Drive fabrics, and she has, these are three different designs. She's going to have new patterns for all three of these, and you can use them with the thread catcher or without. And I just love the little...
They're so cute.
Yeah, she just embellishes them so beautifully. Yeah. And I love her work. So we'll put a link to her.
Yeah, and I'll get a good picture of them to put up for Billy.
Yeah, too. I actually have a couple pictures.
Oh, you have? Oh, good.
Yeah, because I already shared them on the blog. So
oh, good.
I'll send those to Billy. And then you might notice too on the table we have Jen Kingwell's quilt recipes book.
Stunning.
It is absolutely beautiful. I had seen a preview of this book and was so excited that Martingale sent me a copy. It's even autographed by Jen.
It is. And
I love it. It has beautiful photography, gorgeous quilts. There's a couple scrappy quilts in there that I cannot wait to make. And then it's also got recipes that were her mother's family recipes, and they're all for desserts.
And it is so really stunning.
It's really a beautiful book.
Yeah, very beautiful, very well done.
Yeah, hardback, could be a coffee table book too, oh, but yeah. I'm going to want to make some of the projects in there. So, so yeah, that's what we have new. And
I was going to mention we all three of those quilts we've done videos for too. So
yes. Oh, cool.
If yeah. you want, if you haven't seen them and you want right. a up more up close look at right. them, they'll all be linked in the description.
Okay.
Awesome. Yeah. Look and at you guys on so, top of it.
So, yeah, and I have another quilt that I did with these fabrics, but we haven't shared that video
That'll
yet.
That'll be a week from yeah. the, from okay. this, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so I guess Billy is going to introduce the topic for today, right?
Yeah, I figured okay. I would, because I sort of had a story again going oh. back to our year anniversary episode with all those great comments for yeah. subjects and guests. One thing I saw pop up was people wanted you guys to talk about like brick and mortar quilt shops and the importance of them, and you know, like we'll get a little more into it, but that was sort of the main topic. And it got me thinking, this summer I went to a couple different places for camping, fishing, things like that. One place I went that I'd never been before was Big Bear, California. And probably 3-4 years ago, or even 2 years ago, I would have never noticed this. It probably would just blended into the background. I never would have picked up on it. But now, since I've been working with you guys and doing videos and everything, I noticed there was a quilt shop up there in Big Bear. And just driving down the street, I was like, oh, there's a quilt shop up here. And, you know, if anyone's been to Big Bear, it's sort of more of like a resort town. There is quite a few things there. It's not like out in the middle of nowhere. It is, but then there's a bunch of stuff there. But I noticed it and I was thinking, oh, I should like maybe pop in there and grab something for you guys or something, that, you know, like a souvenir, right? Yeah. I never did, sorry.
That's
but
okay.
But I thought about it. And then it just got me thinking. I'm like, wow, there's a quilt shop up here in like the middle of the mountains. And then a couple weeks ago, I was in central Utah in a very small town called Beaver that I was doing some fishing up there. And I noticed a quilt shop there too. And I was like, holy cow, these things are everywhere.
It's on Billy's radar.
Yeah, it's actually like showing up now. And I'd been to Beaver before and I probably never noticed that quilt shop was there.
Right.
So anyway, it seems to me that they are all over the place, in small places and obviously in big cities. I'm sure there's quite a few. So yeah, just to, you know, to have you guys speak on that today is the importance of them, how important it is for people to actually have a physical location to go in and check everything out, and how you guys rely upon brick and mortars, even though you guys are online shop owners, or you know, do most of your business online. If you could, I don't know, sort of take it away, and then the second part of the episode, we have something fun for you guys to do with it. So. Yeah.
We are slowly converting Billy. He's noticing quilt shops.
Yes. No. Oh,
I love this topic. I was really excited about it. So good job, Billy, for watching those comments.
Yes. I was super excited. Billy actually just called us yesterday to give us this outline. And I was so excited because I just want to kind of preface this. Like, I know that online shops are essential. When you live in a small community and you don't have a brick and mortar quilt shop, you have to rely on purchasing things online. And I know there are, you know, in the United States and in other countries, there are many, many people who live in rural areas that don't have access to that. But I was super excited for this topic because there is nothing like a wonderful brick and mortar quilt shop to go into and feel it and see it and experience everything.
Yes.
So
totally.
Yeah.
Same.
Great topic.
Let's dive in.
I mean, and we do the best we can with our photography, but sometimes you want to see it.
Yeah, you want to see it. It really is. I mean, this first kind of portion we're talking about right now is, you know, speaking to the importance of brick and mortar quilt shops and how important it is for people to be able to walk into a shop, see the fabric, quilts, tools, sewing machine, etc. And it's exactly what you said. It's totally different because it's an experience.
Right.
And so nothing can beat going in and actually viewing up close all the different fabrics, you know, getting to feel, you know, the quality of all the different fabrics and just all the tools that you'll need all in one place.
Right.
And so it's just a different feeling.
Yes.
It totally is. And so, yeah, I mean, I remember you would take me, was it Christmas Goose when I was younger?
Probably.
Probably. And I do. And what's so funny is I have these memories of going to quilt shops. And as a child, you know, you're really, I really responded to color,
right,
and to just little baubles and things. And that's what quilt shops have.
Yeah.
They have, you know, little displays and I would just walk around and while you would, you know, look around for things that you wanted. But then another memory I really want to share is, you were going to make me a new quilt for, because when we moved, I got a bigger bed.
Oh, that's right.
And you had previously made me a purple patchwork quilt. Of course, yeah. It was purple, everyone. But we moved and you said, you can go pick out all the fabrics I need, you know, pull X amount of bolts. And I found this, all of these different purples, and they probably didn't even make sense, but they were all purple, different designs of purple. And you did. You let me pick them out and you made me a new quilt, and I still have that.
Yeah.
And it's just really, it was a cool experience for me to see that growing up. So
yeah.
I have really good memories of brick and mortar quilt shops.
Yeah, I was thinking you probably went to Quiltique quite a bit too because
Your
orthodontist was close to Quiltique.
Yeah.
So even though Christmas Goose was closer to where we live out here now, whenever I took you guys to the orthodontist,
Quiltique.
Yeah, we were on the side of town where Quiltique was.
Yeah.
And so I feel like sometimes I even left you at the office and ran over.
Oh,
and,
yeah, totally.
And went by myself to But yeah, those were the two Las Vegas quilt shops that were close to all the errands that we ran.
Yeah.
So
probably even the day I got braces and had to sit in the chair for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Mom's so, like, I'm going to go look at quilting fabrics.
Yeah. One thing I was thinking,
okay, if you were in my position in like this summer and you were at Big Bear and all of a sudden there's a quilt store there, I mean, I'm guessing you guys would have made it a priority to go check it out.
Oh, of course.
And see it, like, so do they have, because that's sort of like a tourist destination. So do quilt shops from different places like that, will there be something unique that, you know, I don't know if they're themed towards where they're from or anything like that. Does that make sense? Or
some shops have little pins you can buy for traveling people who are trying. There are travel books with lists of quilt shops throughout the country that you can purchase. There, people do bus tours and go to different quilt shops and and then they have something called, that Billy, you wouldn't be familiar with, called a shop hop, which sometimes they're statewide or citywide, and they have like a 2 or 3 day event where you go to each shop in the area and they give you something.
Did I ask you about that yesterday?
Billy already asked me about it yesterday, and I explained the shop hop thing to
him. Oh, you explained the shop hop.
I was sitting over here dying laughing. Like,
okay, I'm like, why is she laughing?
Billy knows, Mom.
Well,
I explained it to him.
No, I saw that in the comments too, and I asked Chelsea what that was, because I think I called her before I called you.
Okay.
And yeah, she sort of explained that to me too, so it was like, oh, okay, I just didn't know what that was. But yeah, that makes sense, that why they do those,
right?
And I guess in a place where there's more in an area, you could like go and do that in a day. But
right,
yeah,
like some states, I mean, Nevada, gosh, I don't know if they even have a dozen quilt shops in the whole state.
Yeah, you couldn't do that.
But there are states that have hundreds of quilt shops.
Yeah.
I think Minnesota, Wisconsin.
Yeah. Utah is like Yeah.
Utah definitely has a lot of, you know, I think there are as many shops in the Salt Lake area as there are in the entire state of Nevada. So, yeah, there's.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's
So, okay. Well, Billy knows what a shop hop is now. Yep.
Learned something new. That is two for two today. Yes. He's recognizing quilt shops and he knows what a shop hop is.
Yeah. So I, should we go move to the next little?
Yeah.
So Billy mentioned in here, and I think he and I had talked about this, that some shops really struggled during the pandemic. And, but then I watched other shops really get creative and, you know, they were doing their block of the month kits where people could just drive up mm-hmm. curbside and pick them up.
Like a drive through. It was so clever.
Yes. And a lot of them really relied on their email lists to get information out to their customers about what had arrived and what was available. I think they did a lot of phone orders where you could just pick up. It was just really inspiring, I think, to see how everybody pivoted so quickly.
Yeah.
With everything going on in the world.
That's what I noticed. You know, people, you know, when you're running a business, you do have to pivot. You do have to be creative. And it was really inspiring to see so many businesses who have worked so hard, even before the pandemic, you know, to run their businesses, to find a way to really push through, that. And so,
No, it's interesting to me. Well, my husband's grandmother and father had a small family business, and so I, for many years, watched them. And whatever kind of small business you have as a family, you know, it takes over your family and your life. And same thing with quilt shop owners. The ones that I've gotten to know more closely, I just am in awe of how hard they work and how long the hours are. And
after the doors close, too.
Yeah.
They're still there.
Yeah. They're
running
going home.
The business. Yeah.
So it is incredible. And the pandemic put even more pressure on them. And social media, I think, really helped a lot of those brick and mortar shops, you know, started using social media at that time. So. And I know American Quilt Retailer, that's a magazine for quilt shops. They really put out articles to help shops through the pandemic as well. Yeah. I saw a lot of those. So
That's awesome.
So hopefully they're those who've made it through or rebounding well now. Or I mean, I don't know if you have any news on anything like that, but
I know
that you've heard.
Yeah, I know. You know, we talk a lot about Val Krieger. She actually did the quilting on this quilt.
Yeah.
And she teaches at the Christmas Goose in Las Vegas. And I know she's back to teaching her classes.
Oh, awesome. Oh.
Yeah. So
that's great.
Yeah. So I think they have to wear masks in the shop, but she's back.
She's back teaching,
Teaching. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's always a good sign. Yeah. That came back.
Great.
And I know she had lots of people that take her class that, you know, take every class she teaches, and I believe they're all back. And so that's a really good sign.
That's awesome.
So the next thing I wrote down there too, I talked to Chelsea and she said she hasn't been to, I mean, you've been to Utah, but I don't know how many out of state quilt shops in total you've been to. But I just figured maybe if you guys wanted to give some shout outs to some of the favorite ones that you've been to outside of, you know, out of state, different places that you visited that you would recommend people to check out if they were in those areas.
Okay, so do you want to start with some of your favorite shops?
Yeah, so I'm obviously hoping like more in the future that I can visit more out of state quilt shops, but a couple that we were able to visit in Utah. Quilter's Attic.
Right.
Her
Bountiful.
Shop. Yes. Bountiful. Her shop was so cute. And we were able to visit both of these in the same when we were teaching up in Logan. Her shop was so cute. And she carried, I mean, a wide variety of fabrics. And then my girlfriend's quilt shop, obviously, where we taught, I really, really loved that environment. And they had an upstairs where we taught right. the class. And it was just really cool because the shop was downstairs and the classroom was upstairs. And I think that that is definitely a shop worth visiting. So those were both super cute.
Yeah. Where was that one at?
Logan.
Logan, Utah.
Yeah, the other Quilter's Attic is in Bountiful.
Yeah.
So two really cool shops, and hopefully I can broaden my out-of-state quilt shop visitation. But
well, and those two shops are both doing well. And
Yeah.
But you've been to one other that is closed now. Remember Holly Hill?
Holly Hill.
In Portland area.
Yes, the cutest shop. And I'm so sad that they had to close down.
Yeah.
But I will just say, I mean, I have never met someone so hardworking
as Jan
and just so resilient.
Yes.
But her shop was adorable. And they had a separate classroom in a separate building, and it was very cute.
Right.
And so it was really cool for when people took classes, you know, there's space. And yes, so I have. Yeah.
And you saw her because she had an earlier location that I absolutely loved too. Yeah. But you saw her, the last location she was in. But yeah, she just had such a knack with decorating, and her son Brian did a lot of the displays.
Yeah.
And Christine, her partner, those three just created this amazing
dynamic trio.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as other ones, there is a shop in Brunswick, Missouri called So Sweet, and I was blessed to be able to go and do a trunk show and teach some classes there a few years back, and just an amazing, you know, an old time, kind of an older town. You kind of feel like you're going back in the past, but they had renovated this building, and the same thing there. The shop was upstairs and downstairs, and they had a retreat center and big classroom space, and you know, the wooden floors, just gorgeous. And then of course I've been to both Primitive Gatherings.
You have been to both in
Wisconsin, and I've been to the one in Temecula area, California. Wow. So
I would love to go there and see Lisa and her.
Yeah, and both of those Primitive Gathering shops were super fun. The California one, I feel like it was a little bit more brighter and has more modern feeling fabrics.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm trying to think. Those are probably the ones that, you know, just really stick out.
Yeah. So,
along with the ones Chelsea said.
And we're at in Wisconsin is the Wisconsin.
So I think
one.
It's Racine is the name of the town. I think that's the name of the town.
Is it like close to Milwaukee, or is it out somewhere else?
So I flew into, I remember it's where your third grade teacher went to college.
How do you remember?
In
stuff
Michigan
like that?
Or Minnesota?
No, Wisconsin.
He went to Wisconsin? Yeah, I don't even remember.
Oh, you don't remember?
No.
Oh, goodness. I can't remember now where
Sorry,
I flew into.
Sorry, put you guys on the spot. But.
Yeah, I flew into.
But it wasn't Milwaukee then.
Nope. Okay. I didn't. I should have flown in there, but I think I messed up my flight. But it ended up that I actually ended up getting to see several Wisconsin area quilt shops. Carrie Nelson had flown in. We were both going to an event, and so I was able to carpool with her and see several shops in that area on our way to the Primitive Gatherings.
Yeah.
Shop. But yeah, and that was the thing too. I couldn't believe how many quilt shops were in such a close area in Wisconsin. So, let's see.
I Googled it real quick. So I see it's just south of Milwaukee, but, yeah. So I don't know what
are you looking at the map?
Airport. Yeah.
Look, it was a smaller airport, Madison. I flew into Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, in Madison. That's where University of Wisconsin is. Okay.
That's where I went.
Okay. Figured it out. Billy with the Google.
Yeah. And I think it would have been closer if I'd flown in somewhere else, but I flew into Madison, and that was really fun to see that little bit of that town.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Milwaukee's definitely closer than Madison.
Yes.
To Racine.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah. And then I'm trying to think. I went to the Chicago area.
Yes, you did. Yeah.
And taught. And this was for a guild, but they did take me around to 3 or 4 quilt shops in their area. And
yeah.
I loved all those Midwestern shops.
Yeah. Just
so
super cool.
So fun.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a quilt shop in Iowa where your family's?
I have. Oh. Yeah. I don't know if you guys remember when we did that big family trip back to Iowa when you guys were little, my Aunt Joanne, who has since passed away, but she took me to a couple of her favorite quilt shops in Eastern Iowa.
Awesome.
So that was really fun. I have that memory of going with my Aunt Joanne. So.
I have some vague memories, but I do have memories of being there. I was really little.
Yeah. I feel like we left all of you guys at their house.
Yeah.
And then maybe my mom and Joanne and I.
Yeah.
And maybe my grandma, because she was there too. I think
they had a dog and I played with
yes,
the dog.
Yes, you played with their little dog.
Yeah.
And we went, the four of us, we went to a few quilt shops.
Yeah.
So.
I bet you did.
So. Yeah. That was a while ago.
Good. So got some shout outs there for you. So
yeah.
I'll go ahead and sort of introduce the last part of the topic to you guys. So I thought maybe you guys could talk about if you were to build your own brick and mortar quilt shop. Where you guys live here in Logandale and Overton, there's not a whole lot of traffic coming through because there's not much to see out here for people outside.
Especially with the water levels dropping at Lake Mead.
Yeah. Yeah. The one thing that would get people out here was the lake, but that is continuously dropping lower and lower. So,
right.
But anyway, just imagine that there was enough traffic to do that. So if you guys were to basically open your own quilt shop, I guess I'll ask you guys individually, even though I know that if you really did, you guys would probably go in on it together. But just some different things that you would include in your own quilt shop, things that you find that are essential that every quilt shop should have, something unique that you might add to it, and what the name of it would be, and just some of the things that you would offer. So we want to start with Mom. And
okay.
If you had a quilt shop, what would you name it?
Okay. Well, first, can I just backtrack really
quick? Yeah. I was going to backtrack too.
Okay. So first, I don't believe that you really need the traffic or the population. It's kind of like that Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
Kevin Costner movie type thing.
So
yeah,
proud
I guess
of
so.
You.
There's one in Beaver, Utah. But
yeah.
But the thing about Beaver is it's right off of the I-15.
It is.
So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But that being said, you know, Lynn Hagmeyer has, you know, her Kansas Troubles quilt shop is in a very small town. I believe it's called Bennington, Kansas.
Yeah.
And the population is like not even maybe 1,000.
Yeah.
It's very, very small.
And but, she does very, very well.
Yes. But she does have sleeping quarters for people
awesome.
To come rent the space for retreats.
Okay.
And I believe people do bus tours and go there from maybe Kansas City or places that are maybe an hour or so. I believe they're about an hour outside of Kansas City.
Yeah.
Or maybe an hour and a half. But so I think you can build a shop anywhere if you can get the word out. And if it's amazing enough, people will come. Think about Missouri Star.
Yeah.
They're in a very small area in Missouri too. And I should have mentioned them earlier. I wasn't able to go there because on that trip I was really close to them, but the only day I would have had open was a Sunday when we were traveling back to the airport, and they were closed on Sunday anyway, so I didn't get to see them, but I was really close. But I feel like if you build it, they will come.
And I guess that's true because we're so close to Las Vegas, or you guys are so close to Las Vegas.
Yeah. Right. And we have other things.
Big airport to fly into. And,
yeah.
Right.
We have other things to offer. I mean, we just had a new restaurant open, a destination restaurant.
We have a destination restaurant now. Yeah. Chris Angel.
Chris Angel opened
of
up.
Mind Freak on the Las Vegas Strip.
Magician.
Magician.
In case anyone doesn't know who he is.
Yeah.
He opened up a restaurant in our small town, and it was so busy, he has to close down for 30 days to expand it. Yes. And so it is so busy. And then we also have Red Rock. A lot. You get a lot of people out here. But I mean, I feel the same. I think if you build it, they're going to come. I love that Billy brought up this topic, though, because this is like so sixth grade, middle school me when the teacher's like, okay, we have a project this quarter. You get to build your own quilt shop. That would have been like, I would have been all over that. Like,
right.
Okay, let's do this thing. But I think people will visit it. I do have a fun story to share, though. I really did think about this like a year ago. I gave you a call and I told Mom, I said, hey, you know, there's this really cute shop in our town. It's a flower shop. And I know the woman who runs it. She now has a second location in Mesquite. Well, she had a second attached building to her cute little flower shop. And I told Mom, I'm like, I want to open a quilt shop. It's just not the right time.
Right.
And since then, somebody has moved into the location, which I was kind of sad about, but it's okay because I believe timing is everything.
Right.
But yeah, it would have been super cute. Our boulevard down in Overton, part of our town, has some cute shops. So, maybe
restaurants
someday.
Restaurants too. So.
And restaurants. But it was actually a real thought that I had. And I had brought it up to Mom. And so when Billy brought up this topic, I was like, I actually wanted to do this like a year ago, but it just didn't work out. And
well, it's a good thing that you didn't like open up right before everything has to shut down.
Yeah.
So you're sort of lucky.
Yeah. Totally. Timing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it was good that I didn't really pursue it as heavily. I mean, even my husband went and looked at the space with her, with the owner, you know, kind of just to look at it. He was there one day and she's like, come check it out, you know? So I do think, though, moving into more of what I would have, I really think if you're going to open a quilt shop, you need to offer classes.
Well, here, let's get some names, though. I want to know what would you name it?
Oh, goodness.
Oh, I would.
I don't know.
Absolutely, A Quilting Life,
I figured that's what you would probably do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and Chelsea, too. Like, Yes. No, I do think, like, for a shop name, A Quilting Life is just, I mean, that's who people really know.
So you guys are gonna do it together.
Yeah, quilting life shop. I can't imagine not doing it with Mom.
Okay, makes sense.
Especially with her, Mom just has been to more quilt shops and seen more of that environment and been around it more.
It's just so much work. You would have to have a partner. Yeah.
You would have to have something. We'd make Dad work there.
Yeah.
We'd hire Dad to work in the shop.
There is a magazine called Quilt Sampler. It's put out by the editorial staff at American Patchwork and Quilting and Quilts and More. And twice a year, they feature 10 quilt shops.
Yeah.
From throughout.
It's really cool.
Yes. And I love, for years, I've loved looking at those magazines and looking at those shops and, and you know, kind of imagining this same thing that Billy came up with. What would we put in
what
our
would we
own
put
shop?
In it?
Yeah. But if you read that magazine, you notice a lot of those women, either their husband is their partner or they have a friend who is a partner. It really takes a village to run a quilt shop.
It does. Well, even like I said, I think in an earlier podcast, I can't remember which one, you know, when I first went to Quilt Market, I'm like, why is everyone's husbands here?
Right.
And it's because they all work with, they help their wives out, whatever they need. They are like, I got it. I'll hang the quilt up. I'll fold everything up, you know? Right. So it really is a family business.
Yes.
And you guys now have, Mom now has 6 grandchildren. that live in this valley.
That live in the valley. And I had always thought about that. I'm like, my kids could, you know, work there when they're older. And
right.
It'd be really, really cool. It'd be awesome.
Right. Yeah. No, we just had a new grandchild arrive this week. So, yes. So instead of having 5 3/4 grandchildren, we now officially have 6.
So I love how you put that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so we had, I had my new niece was born. She is super cute. And mom is doing good and they're home now.
Yes.
And so, yeah, it's really exciting. We have another grandchild in the family.
Yes.
Lots of kids running around now.
Right. Okay, so some of these things that Billy said, what are some essentials you feel that a quilt shop should have? So what would we have in our shop, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe some of it's like no-brainers, obviously, because you can have fabric and patterns and...
Yeah, and notions and
different things like that. Do quilt shops sell sewing machines or
some
not
do.
Really?
Some do. Some do.
Yeah, that brings on a whole nother element to your shop.
Yes.
But it makes sense to have it all under one roof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was thinking I would love to have... Of course, you know, a great display of our fabrics.
Yeah.
And other of our favorite Moda designers and other fabrics from other companies. But I would love to have just like a little Christmas nook.
Yes.
Where it was all Christmas fabrics and Christmas projects all of the time.
Yes. All of the time. So that because a lot of people do. They take sewing Christmas in July very seriously. You know, like... even
a patriotic
you know, section.
Nook. Yes.
Yeah. I see you. I see your visual here.
So some themed areas within the shop.
Yeah. I mean, and you're definitely, I'm thinking more like aesthetic, like, you know, obviously you're going to need a space, a counter space. And, you know, I feel like any place you go into, you're going to need proper shelving and all that stuff. But as far as like fabrics and I love like... what you said about that and notions to go with kits and project specific projects. You know, I feel like a lot of people when they walk into a shop, I get a lot of emails that are like, well, is this a kit? Can I just buy this as a kit?
Right.
And if you have kits available, I think people really love that in your shop. I know a lot of shops that do that.
Right.
But yeah, I feel like those are like the basics that we would have in there.
Yeah, I feel like it would need to have, you know, floors, not necessarily hardwood, but that looked like, you know, a laminate that looked like wood.
Yeah.
Just kind of give that feel lighter.
Yeah, the design aspect obviously is really important.
Yeah. And you need a sofa or a chair for the husbands who just want to sit down while their wives are shopping.
Mom, you're a genius.
Right?
Yes. See, look at us. We'd be so inviting. Husbands, this is the husband's corner.
Yes.
This is your significant other's corner.
Right.
Where they can sit down.
Yeah.
Here, would you like a beverage? Like,
yeah. And you need a classroom with good lighting.
You do.
It's hard to teach when it's dark in the space.
I do feel like your shop needs good lighting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your fabrics, that's why people go. They want to see fabrics, you know, for what they are and the colors that they're really showing. And I'm getting so excited about this now. Mom, dang it, Billy. Now I like really, I'm going to be looking up properties in the valley now to open a shop. I really like, that makes me so excited.
It's fun when quilt shops are in older houses, I think, too, because they can use a couple rooms as theme rooms.
Yeah, I love that.
There was a shop, I don't think it's open anymore, but there was a shop in St. George that was in a little cottage and it was super cute. That reminds me, I should shout out to Quilted Works.
Oh, of course.
In St. George, they've always been really good to us. So
totally.
Yeah, just thought of that.
I do love, though, this next one. You know, what additional features would you implement in your quilt shop, such as classes, retreats, guest teachers, quilt along, anything else you feel makes the shop more successful? All of those things. I feel like when you open a shop, you want it to be inviting to people. So you hold classes and you have retreats. You know, we have a small hotel here people could stay at And guest teachers, I have felt so grateful that we have been invited to be guest teachers. I think that's really important. And even offering like a kids class, I think that that's really important too. So just all those things really make. Jan always did something really fun, the breakfast club. And her husband would make breakfast for everyone. Remember that? Would he? I thought he did.
And she had a friend or a catering company that she used to.
Maybe it wasn't her husband. Maybe.
Yeah, she did box lunches when she had full day classes that women could purchase if they wanted.
And yeah.
Super cute. Just so many really ideas. Cute. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would definitely. And I feel like when we were at Girlfriend's Quilt Shop, didn't they have little box lunches too? Yes,
and they did. They catered.
Somebody catered their food.
Yeah, and then, you know, people feel like, you know, they can stay all day and not have to leave. And what's really cool about classes is people who take the classes can shop while they're there too, you know? So that's always really fun.
Yeah.
But I think the most important thing is just creating a space that people feel welcome and just a very inviting space and just involving people in your shop, you know, your customers. And so I think that that's the most important is that you create an environment that people say, I want to come back to this. And I think that's what Missouri Star does so well. People want to go back. It's just such, theirs is like a whole experience.
Right.
You know, and so you create an environment like that and it's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. This was a super fun topic. I really think you did a good job.
My creative mind is like, we must build a quilt shop now. Yeah. Like,
well, here's the $1 million question then. Is if you listen to this and you would make a trip to come visit a shop by my mom and sister in Little Loganbell, Nevada, yeah. Comment. And maybe if we like overrun them with comments, they'll maybe put some wheels to that idea.
Yeah. Yes, you know?
So yeah. We're about 45 minutes to an hour, depending on traffic, from Las Vegas and about the same from St. George, Utah. So that's a couple. Yeah. Right in the middle. So that's how you get out here. But
yeah. I feel like Chris Angel has been advertising that his restaurant is only 45 minutes from the strip, but I think it's really a little bit further, you know.
Yeah.
It's really about an hour.
Yeah, away. He says that and it's like, well, on a perfect day, that's true.
With no traffic.
Yeah, not, on a perfect
it could,
day.
It could be a little longer than that.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
So maybe he's taking the lake route. I don't know. But yeah. So
this was really fun.
This was a really fun topic. So we definitely have enough fabric to get it going.
Yeah, I feel like somebody walked in to a friend of mine came over and wanted to look at some patterns. And that's what she said. She's like, your sewing space literally looks like a mini quilt shop. And I'm like, it kind of does. I'm like, my mom's really does too. So there's just fabric and bolts all across the wall. And
that reminds me, one of Billy's friends was here recently because he was actually going fishing with Billy. And it was so funny because I've known this guy since he was 12.
Little.
Yeah.
Little,
but he was like, I want to see your sewing room. And so I took him up and he was like, wow, this is like a mini Joanne's.
Yeah, he's so funny.
So.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, because I was telling him about, you know, what we've been doing and everything. And I was away doing, helping my dad with something. And then when I came back, I realized, oh, he's up. You were like giving him a tour. And so I asked him, like, did my mom just like bring you on a, did she want to show you? He's like, no, I asked to see it.
He I'm did
like,
ask.
Oh, okay.
I asked to see it.
Yeah.
That was nice of you. So.
Yeah.
You're so hip, Mom.
That was fun. That was kind of fun. So, okay.
Yeah.
I think that kind of wraps it up for.
So the next episode airs August 23rd.
And I believe that will be.
I think we're going to have a guest on that one.
Oh.
We're taping 3 different guest episodes the week before that.
And
so I think we will be able to have one of them edited and ready to go mm-hmm. for that day.
Yeah. Yeah. So really exciting. We're going to have some more, you know, people have been asking for more guests and we have delivered.
Yes. We're going to get, we're taking that whole week and like 3 days in a row, we're taping with guests.
So. It's going to be really fun. Some really fun people. And so we're excited. So August, next one is August 23rd.
So well, thanks so much for stopping by.